This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. This is the FitCast. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And with us this week, we have a special guest, Lou Schuler.
Dr. John Girardi.
One-on-one with Craig Ballantyne.
One-on-one interview with Bill Hartman.
And I'm Eric Cressy.
Can't forget our shakes this week.
It's a hell of a super shake.
Yeah, let's start off with this week's news. Need any updates for the FitCast to get the show notes with all the links for the show? Just go to thefitcast.com for all your FitCast needs. Hello and welcome to episode number 11 of the FitCast for June 25th, 2006. My name's Kevin Larrabee.
And this is John Williams. And today we have a special guest, John Paul, JP Fitness himself is here. And JP, a little bit of background about him, he built this thriving personal trainer business in Little Rock from the ground up, currently hosts JP Fitness Forums, from which we basically run this show, and he's been an active chairman on the Arkansas Governor's Council on Fitness, and a proud father of three children, and one of our good friends. JP, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Finally got you on the show.
It's about damn time. No, this is great. I've been really watching with interest as this show increases in popularity, and it looks like you're starting to get a lot more downloads too.
Yeah, we're loving it. We're loving it.
Excellent.
Thanks largely in part to the popularity of JP Fitness Forums.
Well, they're definitely growing as well, and you're about to see a new surge of growth starting really soon because. One of the companies that the company that I've partnered with, based out of Phoenix, Fitness Insight, is going to use JP Fitness. I don't know if you remember the thread about this a while back, but JP Fitness is going to be the central forum for all of their corporate clients, which includes World Gym International, Powerhouse International, and several major fitness sites, and they're going to, you know, all use. JP Fitness, which will be co-branded for them. It'll be just Pure Fitness. When they come in, they'll see the same JP Fitness that everybody else sees, but their address will say just Pure Fitness. But they're all going to be participating in the same, you know, forum.
Nice.
So you'll see a pretty large explosion of growth when that finally takes place.
Well, this is just exciting for me because, you know, I was with you on the burgeoning days of your forum when it was just, you know.
Yes, you were.
I think I was like member number 40 or something like this.
Yeah, I remember. That was great. And there were a few very daring people, and some of those people are still around. I mean, you know, people like Mahler and, Danny King.
Right.
There are a few of the old ones that are still around.
Yeah, absolutely. We got so many, and Kaiser and the whole crew.
That.
Yeah. That's great. I love to see it being successful.
It's definitely taken on a life of its own. I mean, it's far greater than the sum of its parts. Initially it was just me posting up a bunch of, you know, little articles, that I'd written, and they were pretty weak in retrospect. I look back at those things and go, God, I really need to take those out. but I just kind of leave them in there because there's also sort of interesting for me to see the timeline of just how much my own knowledge has increased since I created the forum. Yeah. You know, I never expected it would end up being an educational tool as much for me as for everybody else. So it's just this sort of great expanding roundtable of fitness minds across the country, and I'm just as much a participant as I am the host. Really, I'd say the only thing I really contribute anymore, outside of, you know, my occasional, you know, whenever there's something I can actually, you know, express with some knowledge. I mean, with people like Bill Hartman and Eric Cressy and Lou Schuler on there, and, you know, and the list goes on. A lot of times I feel like, you know, I'm just going to let one of these guys take it. But I'd say probably more than anything else, I just contribute the mood or the, you know, keep everybody, you know, civil and make sure that, you know, the flame wars that sometimes erupt are put down quickly, and make sure that everybody, you know, follows a real, you know, strict protocol of being welcoming to newbies and, you know.
Right. It's one of the most civil forums out there for sure. It's got a certain paradigm that makes it its own forum for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely got a philosophy behind it, and it's very similar to my training philosophy, which is one of, you know, accepting people where they are and you know, without judgment. And I feel like that has really become it's very pervasive in the forum now. I mean, everybody's really embraced that philosophy and really they really take ownership in the forum and take responsibility for it. And that's probably what makes it a lot different than most forums in that sense.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, let's start it off with a little bit of news. Again, as always, I hope you're downloading through iTunes and also Podcast Alley. And don't forget to submit reviews if you'd like. Getting a great response through both of those outlets. And you can always download the show off thefitcast.com where you can get the show notes. And that kind of leads into our first Fitcast news story, which is you might have noticed a new intro. I've been working on a new intro. I kind of fooled around with it through the last week and got some help from the guys at JP Fitness Boards and did some tweaking, and I think it turned out all right. We might do a little bit of a revision in the future, but let us know what you think about the new intro this week. Also, this is pretty big news, and we're gonna announce it here. I kind of announced it on the JP Fitness Boards, but kind of silently, and I don't know if we should bring this up so early, but John and I are actually going to get together to do some Fitcast content, video-wise, in Denver, which is going to be an actual episode of the Fitcast, which we're going to provide in video and audio format, and also probably do one or two episodes of the video version of the Fitcast, and hopefully we'll just have a good time and, you know, see what happens, you know?
It sounds awesome. Have you decided a date when you're going to fly down?
Right now I'm still fooling around with a couple things, basically because I have to go back early for school to do the RA gig. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to see what those dates are and then get back to you. But we should have a definite date within the next week or so, and we'll let everyone out there know about it, and it should be a blast. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. Awesome.
And
go ahead,
get,
JP.
Get John out skiing, and if you can.
That's right. I think even A Basin is shut down. Now it's getting to be late in the season, but yeah, well, there's definitely tons of stuff to do. I'll take you around Denver and Colorado, Kevin, when you get out here.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest on the show, and I have never skied or snowboarded before. I'm not against it. I just really I've never had the opportunity, even though I go to school in New Hampshire. So don't beat me up for that, but.
Oh, it's you would get addicted if you tried it once.
That's what everyone tells me, and I'll promise you this winter I will get out there and I'll try snowboarding.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. New Hampshire is actually the first place I went snowboarding too.
Yeah, there's a lot of great mountains up there, and all my friends are trying to drag me along, but I always have some schoolwork to do or something that's in the way. And actually, John, I want to ask you about a story that you're actually in the news this week, weren't you?
Oh, you mean the skateboarding thing?
Yes.
Yeah. How random is that? All of my friends are just like, I didn't even know you skated. Now you're in the newspaper. Yeah, it was out. I decided to start skateboarding on my cardio days, Tuesday and Thursday, maybe once on the weekend, because I used to skate. I used to be like a big-time skater in high school, and I actually owned a skateboard shop along with my mom in high school. It helped me help pay for part of my college. When I got in college, early college, I managed a skate park in Springfield, Missouri. So I was really big into it, but, you know, I gave it up. I didn't have time to do it, nor the means. When I was in Tulsa and Dallas doing my graduate degree work, so I gave it up for a good 10, 12 years. And I got here to Colorado, you know, last year, and they have such a great opportunity for skateboarders. They have skate parks, one of the biggest skate parks in the world here in Denver, and seriously, like every little town around Denver also has its own skate park. So there's one in Westminster, close to where I work, like right down the street. And I was doing an excavation on this road cut, and I heard skateboarders in the distance, and I like walked over the hill, and there's this giant bowl, this huge concrete bowl, which is, I didn't have access to that kind of stuff when I was skating before. So I decided to do it again, picked it up again, and I was on my lunch break skating a couple of weeks ago, and a photographer from the Rocky Mountain News came out, and she was taking shots at me. I never dreamed that they put it in the newspaper, but yeah, there I was.
I thought every day you'd see a 30-year-old guy, flying 50 feet up in the air while Stern doing an aerial flip or whatever. You know, that was a pretty awesome photo. I mean, you know, you expect that seeing pictures like that of 18-year-olds because, you know, they break a bone and they just heal right up and get right back at it. And, you know.
Yeah.
How old are you?
It's great. I've been getting a great response from it. Like, you know, screw all the scientific articles I've written. You know, every once in a while somebody make a comment about that. But as soon as my picture gets put in a newspaper on a skateboard, everybody just loves it. I think it's hilarious. My coworkers at work are they're giving me grief about it. You know, they're like, "What are you going through, a midlife crisis?" But no, believe me, it's a hell of a lot more fun than pedaling on a stationary bike or running on a
treadmill. Just tell me you never entered midlife and you'll be fine.
Exactly.
And to all the worried moms out there, John was wearing elbow pads and a helmet. So.
Helmet, yeah.
And knee pads. And wrist guards, yeah. I learned well that my bones aren't as rubbery as they used to be when I broke my ankle this winter snowboarding. So
yeah,
I'm taking the precautions necessary to make sure I don't injure myself again.
John, I know this is probably the third week I'm going to have to ask you, but I have to ask you.
I already know. I already know what it's about. The hottie in the FitCast t-shirt, I think, is what he's probably inquiring about. But yeah, the good news on that, but old guy already knows this. She got the t-shirt, which I mailed to her last week, and she's in the progress of getting photographs taken of her by her boyfriend, by the way. So that's probably a big heartbreaker to all the guys out there.
I'm out of the loop on this. What is this all about?
My girlfriend has a friend who's basically looks like a model. I mean, she's you know, extremely attractive. Every guy that's ever met her just like falls head over heels for her. She lives in Dallas, and she agreed to model a FitCast baby t-shirt, you know, one of those really tight FitCast t-shirts. So she's going to do that, and it's the anticipation has been building on the forums, you know, especially
Kevin,
the old guy.
You really are a marketing little guru here. I'm impressed. You will go far in life, I can tell you.
Absolutely.
You know?
Hey, we're trying to sell the FitCast thongs, and once those are getting out the door, then that's when I know we've hit the top.
At 20, you're going to have your first, or how old are you now, Kevin?
I'm 20 right now. I'll be turning 21 in January.
So like by 22, he's going to have the first fitness network, and you know, we'll all just be. I mean, this thing is just going to grow out of control.
we're going to be Larrabee wannabes.
Yeah, really.
I don't know about that.
But we can say we knew him when.
That's right. So the t-shirt, the picture will be coming along. It just depends on when her boyfriend takes pictures of her.
All right, now we got that finished with. John, I have to ask you about the Super Shake Contest. What's up with that?
Oh, the Super Shake Contest. Well, I was so impressed with everybody who sent in. We got a great response for this. We put up a contest last week for people to submit shake recipes. It didn't have to be a super shake. It could be post-workout shake, any sort of shakes, to win a hard copy of Gourmet Nutrition, a printed copy of it. And this is not the new Gourmet Nutrition, which John Berardi and I are still working on to get out with the color photos. But it is the first version of Gourmet Nutrition, which was an ebook, but it will be printed out and spiral bound for the winner. So that was the prize, and got a great response. And you know, I found it so hard to narrow it down because you know, the qualifications, the judging qualifications ranged from taste and texture to creativity and ease to make and these sorts of criteria. And just got a great response. You know, it's almost sad trying to pick a winner out of these. You know, it's sort of like judging a beauty contest. You know, you choose one, you got like 10 others going home crying or something like this. So it was a tough call. But what I did was I narrowed it down to three. I think we have three equally legitimate winners this week. So without further ado, the first winner would be Mountain Mark, Mark from the forums. He submitted this awesome pumpkin pie butterscotch cheesecake shake, and that's what I'm actually drinking right now. This is one of the first that I got, and I whipped it up, and it was just amazing. And I've always been looking for for a shake that myself, I wanted to make a shake using canned pumpkin pie ingredients, you know, the canned pumpkin stuff, because, you know, you think pumpkin pie, you think, you know, horrible for you, but the pumpkin itself in a can is actually very healthy. So he did a magnificent job of doing this. Basically, some of that canned pumpkin, some ground almonds with vanilla protein powder, pumpkin pie spice, some ground flax seeds, some low-fat cottage cheese, some unsweetened applesauce to give it a sort of a juicier texture, and finally some butterscotch fat-free instant Jell-O pudding mix. So you whip it all up together, and man, it really does taste good. So
it looks really good. And it's got a great ratio for protein, carbs, and fat.
Yeah, yeah, 37 grams of protein, 30 grams of carbohydrates, 10 grams of fiber. My goodness, you know, that's a lot. Some of which comes from the pumpkin. And a good fatty acid profile, too. So that was a great one. So the second winner was Cappuccino. JP, one of your friends there in Little Rock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Christine. She sent in a great shake, too. And we already knew that Christine had recipe skills.
Cappuccino flavor.
No, it was actually something different. She called it the Powderless Tangy Brown Betty Treat.
Actually, I watched the video, so I saw part of that.
Which video?
The video that the first podcast video.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, with Kevin and his sodas
and his blender and his kitchen there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was surprised you didn't have like one of those experiments like the Mentos and the Diet Coke.
Oh, the pop! Oh, actually, hey, you know what? We got a couple future video fitcasts coming up. I'm going to get on those probably in the next week or two.
I want to hear bloopers or see bloopers.
Oh, there's plenty of them. I almost coughed one of them up.
Oh, we could do like a special episode in like the Discovery Channel Mythbusters and see if Hot Rocks and soda actually does cause intestinal explosions.
Yeah.
John, you can try that one out.
Well, you know, I mean, I never thought about it. If you drop those Mentos in there like that, what happens if you take a Mentos in after you drink a bunch of Diet Coke? Does it have the same effect? You know, we basically start projectile vomiting.
But
you know, a 9-foot stream of Diet Coke there.
But you'll have fresh breath.
Fresh minty breath.
The fresh.
Kind of like that Monty Python movie.
Yeah.
Somehow we always manage to fit in some kind of bodily excretion into the show.
Hey, we're guys. What do you expect?
Potty humor all the way.
Exactly.
Anyway, back to Christine's shake. She called it the Powderless Tangy Brown Betty Treat, and this is, you know, tailored for a woman. And she used low-fat yogurt, cottage cheese, low-fat, an apple, or about a fourth of an apple, about half of a banana, some flax seeds, a dash of cinnamon, and about half a tablespoon of almond or peanut butter, and then some ice cubes, and you sweeten it with stevia or Splenda, and throw it all in a blender. And, you know, I whipped this one up in the middle of the week, and it was really tasty. It had a great texture, and as you noticed when I was reading the ingredients, there's no protein powders. All of the protein comes from whole foods, primarily the yogurt and the cottage cheese. And it has a great nutritional profile as well. Good fats, 20 grams of protein total, 37 carbohydrates, high fiber, and nice and tasty. So great recipe from Cappuccino on the forums. And the third winner today is Rock Hard's The Green Monster. And Ian has been putting up several experimental super shake recipes on JP Fitness forums in the nutrition section, and he sort of mastered this shake. And as we learned from John Berardi's episode of the FitCast, you know, John Berardi specializes in making super shakes. It's one of his specialties. And the concept behind super shake is to produce a shake made from whole foods. Partly from whole foods, which incorporates both high protein, a true vegetable source, a true fruit source, and some healthy fats and healthy carbohydrates, and I tried out Ian's The Green Monster, and found it to be very tasty for a super shake. You know, it takes, it's sort of an acquired taste to get used to sort of this savory sweet combination in your shake.
But basically, in other words, it tastes like
no, it's actually really good. Now, you can make some super shakes. And most of the super shakes that you'll start out with, if you're trying to produce them from scratch, do taste like ass. But he came up with a good combination with half a cup of processed egg whites, you know, the kind that are pasteurized so you don't risk getting salmonella. 18 grams of vanilla whey. He used designer whey, but you can use any your favorite scoop of vanilla whey protein powder. 2 tablespoons of non-fat yogurt. Half a tablespoon of ground flax seeds. Half an avocado. The avocado adds... basically gives it its good creamy texture. A small red apple cored and half a cup of frozen spinach. And Ian points out that the frozen rather than the fresh makes a significant difference. And I do agree with that. And finally, half a tablespoon of Splenda to sweeten it up a little bit. And basically pour all this into a blender, any sort of blenders, and blend it up. And you've got yourself sort of a true meal replacement. So those are the three winners. And all three of these folks will be receiving a hard copy of Gourmet Nutrition in the mail. And to everybody else, it was really hard to exclude anybody else to it. Gayla submitted this really neat
Rise and Shine
shake with a sugar-free Red Bull and a dash of lemon juice.
Drinking it this week, Gayla, it's pretty good. It's not, yeah, it's not bad.
It's actually Gayla.
Yep. Kevin tried it out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to just... stay close to the bathroom. I'm going to have to ask her how she feels about that, but with the lemon and the sugar-free Red Bull and some tropical French whey protein.
Yeah, that's an eye-opener. But it's a novel concept. It's the first time I've heard of anybody combining protein and Red Bull. So that was a cool one. Cynic also sent in a peanut butter indulgence, which was very tasty. Gobla from the forum sent in this great chocolate sundae shake. It was awesome. Kaiser sent in a recovery mission shake. The funniest name by far goes to Ed Chap from the fitness forums, who called his shake the Orgasmatron. This thing was a monster. 903 calorie shake with whole oats and bananas and honey and milk and. It was good. You know, I agree with him. It sounded a little sketchy when you read it because it involves putting everything into a shaker and shaking it up, and then you drink what's on top and then spoon out like the whole oats at the bottom. But you know, it is a good breakfast. So all of these are great. I thoroughly enjoyed making these over the week, and my hat's off to everyone who submitted.
Ed's all about the bulking all the time.
He called it Britain's best shake, I think, if I remember the subject line correctly.
Well, that's good stuff. Congratulations to all the winners, and everyone, thanks for submitting for the contest. And I'm going to definitely have to try some of these out as well. I didn't get to try them all out this week, but I definitely get to give them a go.
Yeah, we can have a future contest of a similar nature, and eventually we can put up an entire web page of FitCast recipes from user-submitted recipes.
Definitely, definitely. Sounds good. And actually, I wanted to bring up this week a quick review of Eric Cressy's Magnificent Mobility. As you may know, if you listen to episode number 9, Eric was on the show, and I got to check out his DVD, and it is really a great DVD, and I think a lot of people should check it out. I've been trying out some of the workouts. Like, he basically lets you pick out the exercises that you want to do and make your own program. And I can already tell a difference just in increased flexibility. And they're kind of like, I did them on my off days of training. And even though they're supposed to be done as a warm-up, but I didn't want to kind of run down. I usually do for a warm-up just some, I shoot around some basketball. But I gave it a shot, and it's a really great DVD. It's got a lot of information and really good production values as well. I was actually surprised by that. And he and Mike did a great job. And just before, I know John wants to talk about
Mike him. Robertson did that with him?
Yes.
Yeah, Mike Robertson.
Okay.
Just wanted to mention that Bill Hartman actually just announced that he and Mike are actually coming up with another DVD that will be out in the future. Hopefully we'll be able to get both of those guys on the show at the same time to talk about that in the future, and we'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, and this magnificent
Mike Robertson, of course, man, he's amazing. I didn't know about him until he actually joined the forum, but Bill pointed out who he was, and I went and started reading some of his stuff, and I was just blown away. He's really amazing.
Yeah, he did a great job in the video as well, this DVD. I'm so happy to get a copy of this. Like Kevin said, it was just a phenomenal video. The production quality I thought was great. And just tons and tons of useful warm-ups, dynamic stretching. And one of the things I love best about the DVD is so user-friendly. You can watch the whole thing from front to finish, or you can go to each individualized movement from the main menu of the DVD. So I've had a blast with this, and you know, people have been giving me strange looks in the gym trying these out, but that's nothing unusual. You know, anybody who's a dedicated gym goer and weightlifter or strength trainer, whatever, is going to get some funny looks because you're not just doing curls and whatnot. But it was a great DVD. I would definitely recommend it to anybody.
Sounds good. And now we already went over our shakes for this week. JP, what are you drinking this week?
My favorite mixture is to take the chocolate milk flavored Muscle Milk and throw in a big old scoop of natural peanut butter and a little bit of ice and a little tiny bit of creatine monohydrate, micronized creatine monohydrate. That's my blueberry Muscle Milk. And you know, I don't know if this is a bad thing. I actually asked about this in the forum a couple of years ago because my kids love those Muscle Milk shakes, and I feel like, you know, I don't want to get them like just using supplements all the time, but you know, if they really like them and they're getting a good healthy source of protein, I don't seem to have any problem letting them drink them. So my 2-year-old especially is just crazy about the blueberry stuff. Their blueberries and cream flavor, which I have to say is also quite good.
I haven't had a chance to try that one yet, but I agree, JP, that the Muscle Milks just have phenomenal flavorings and they're healthy too, you know. Good anytime.
Yeah, shows. Yeah. They seem to have a good mixture of like the, you know, good fats and you know, it's got some creatine. I mean, not creatine, but medium chain triglycerides, which I've used it a lot for, you know, when I've done adventure racing or mountain bike racing, and it really gives me a lot of energy before a competition. It really seems to sustain me. One of the things I think that does that, besides the, you know, the great mixture of protein that it has, is the medium chain triglycerides. I don't know, I've been in this industry so long. I remember back when it first came out back in the 80s, medium chain triglycerides. They've probably been around longer than that, but they were really. It was first released to the mass market in the 80s, just as a straight up oil that you mixed with protein shakes or with your cereal, and you know, you had to build up your resistance to it because it could make you nauseous.
Yeah.
But it was, they called it human rocket fuel, and the idea behind it is that it when you make that shift, when you hit that first wall, you know, typically where your body is switching from your stored muscle glycogen to it's basically your body starts to prefers that to energy. When you reach the point where you've burned up all your muscle glycogen, you just, you know, hit a wall of fatigue, and most people just, you know, they bonk. This stuff really helps me get past those bonking points and give me an extra little. It was like hitting a turbo button instead of hitting a wall of fatigue for me. And you know, of course, that's my anecdotal report, but it was pretty consistent with what I saw reported with you know, the endurance athletes that were using it, and they also used it in experiments with the extremely obese and had pretty good results with it as well. So it had a lot of fat loss qualities to it. So anyway, I really like Muscle Milk because they have the medium chain triglycerides and also the EvoPro blend of protein is really good.
Yeah, I haven't tried all the flavors, and like I said, I need to try the blueberries and cream. But
blueberries and cream, vanilla cream, banana cream, chocolate milk. I've got the chocolate peanut butter also.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten real daring. I haven't tried like root beer. That just sounds wrong.
It sounds nasty, but I had a friend who that was his favorite flavor out of all of them. He loved that root beer, so I haven't tried it yet. But I may have to
try it mixed with actual root beer because, you know, I'm inspired by Kevin's video. I love Diet Bark's root beer. That's like my favorite soda in the entire universe. And so I can see mixing that with maybe root beer flavored or natural flavored, either one. Muscle Milk, and it might actually be decent. I don't know. I'm scared. but I'll report on those results on the forum if I try it out, and I'll find one of you guys' threads and update you on it.
Sounds good.
Well, that will pretty much wrap it up for this week's Shakes. Let's jump into this week's news.
The Fitcast. We report, you decide.
There we go.
That's right, everyone. That's how the Fitcast is, and we'll jump into our first story this week.
Before we do that, I've got a major important story that just came up on the forums. Danny King just qualified for Nationals in his very first contest. He reported this within the hour.
Nice.
Yeah, Danny.
Woo-hoo!
Danny is awesome.
Danny. He's going to Nationals. He's really pumped about it, as you might imagine, and so look to the forums, in the training forum, for his thread on it, and he's eventually going to put photos up and all that good stuff like he normally does. So anyway, back to the news.
Danny is a tank. Plus, more importantly, dig Danny.
I knew him when he was a scrawny little kid. You know, it's so funny to watch him progress like this. He's just turned into a juggernaut.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I got to meet him at the summit, and really great person. And all the best to you, Danny, and good luck, man.
For sure.
But now back into the news. I'm actually picked out this story. I'm getting all my stories off dig.com lately. I just go to dig.com a lot, and they do have some health and fitness news stories. And this one is actually fish oil calms children better than Ritalin. And I found this story extremely interesting. If you haven't read this story, go to thefitcast.com and get the link for the story. It's awesome. Awesome article. And basically, a daily dose of fish oil is better at treating hyperactivity than Ritalin, the chemical drug that's been linked to deaths of children. Stunning research has revealed that just 6 capsules a day of the naturally occurring oil can vastly improve children's behavior without any side effects of Ritalin and related drugs. Within 3 months, the behavior of those on the fish oils had dramatically improved, and by 7 months, many of the children were less restless and doing better at school. And in turn, they were also reading more. Overall, 30 to 40% of the children over 15 weeks and 40 to 50% of children over 30 weeks of the treatment had improvements. I mean, this is great news because Ritalin is being prescribed to so many in the U.S., like many children in the U.S., and I personally think it's getting ridiculous. I've seen it
way overprescribed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's being prescribed and it's being misused by parents to calm their children. And just I know students that were in high school and now in college who are buying Ritalin off other students who have been prescribed it, and it's almost more expensive than marijuana at my college. Let's just say that. And kids are just,
I was surprised.
Yeah, we don't know how you know that, but you know.
I just know. We'll keep in with the story. Hey, I'm not getting into this. And also,
edit.
But I was surprised too, because they obviously didn't have Ritalin when I was in my undergraduate years. But like you said, Kevin, it's common knowledge now that most students, if they had to pull an all-nighter to study for an exam, will find somebody with Ritalin.
Exactly.
That's so bizarre. I mean, you know, they had it when I was a kid, I guess. My parents didn't do it, and if ever a kid qualified for it, it would have been me. And I was off the charts on those things. But, I mean, you know, it does change your personality so much, and I'm glad they didn't, you know, put me on it, because I feel like it would have, you know, removed something from my personality, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, there's certainly good reasons for some children to take Ritalin or
yeah. I mean, I'm not slamming the idea of prescribing it in general. You know, for people who actually genuinely really need something when they've got somebody who's got real social problems. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, I think people just they see social problems where they're not, because the kids aren't getting enough exercise or aren't eating healthy, and they have hovering parents who just micromanage every aspect of their children's lives and don't let them, develop some sense of independence. And so, of course, their children are going to turn into histrionic little freaks, and they're going to need some sort of medication to deal with the parents. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I go back and forth on that issue.
Yeah, it's a great article, too, because it did show that nutrition does have an influence on children's behavior, too.
Well, that's interesting that they're talking about children. Do you know anything, Kevin, did you get any idea if they mentioned anything about adults? Because if that's the case, a little fish oil might do me some good.
Well, back in the couple episodes, maybe it was episode 2 or 3, John had an article on fish oil and the effects of it on prisoners. So maybe it was just omega-3s?
Yeah, well, it was fish oil in particular, the fishy really? Omega-3s. Yeah, and it helped it dropped violence in prison inmates, basically.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just, it's just one of these things that everybody should be either supplementing with fish oil capsules or at least increasing their fish.
Eating more fish.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, I don't do enough of.
Yeah, it's hard to, and we discussed this on the forum several times, the sort of double-edged sword when you're dealing with should you or should you not eat whole fish, because you got the whole mercury poisoning potential with eating real fish, particularly farmed salmon and other farm fishes have.
But where do you think they get the oil for the fish oil capsules?
Well,
it probably comes from the same source, I would imagine.
Yeah, they basically like fish, squeeze so, nasty fish heads and But if you think about it, though, the mercury is dispersed throughout the muscles and back primarily into fish and some of the organs, too. But it's so diluted when it comes down to the actual oil. I think they've done some studies and shown that even fish oil capsules don't have any sort of danger in terms of mercury. Definitely pop those fish oil pills.
Next story. You guys sent me a couple of stories about caffeine, which I'm always glad to hear good news about caffeine because I don't want anybody taking caffeine from me. Get your hand to me and my caffeine, you will pull back a bloody stump.
That's right. I'm the same way. It's such a touchy issue with people because anytime anyone writes an article saying some of the downsides of
your antibiotics or whatever. I mean, not your antibiotics, but your, what is it? What do they say it does? Your, fat soluble vitamins or something like that. Isn't it supposed to be bad for your certain vitamins like vitamin E or vitamin A or some antioxidants?
Your body can't absorb them as readily.
Yeah,
right. So it affects your insulin sensitivity and, you're more likely to have a higher insulin response to carbohydrate meals. But,
blah, blah, blah. Give me my coffee.
That's right. We're just fishing for reasons to drink caffeine on this show. So here is a news feature called News on Coffee and Caffeine. Basically, a group of scientists from Norway and the United States reported that moderate consumption of coffee is a major source of dietary antioxidants and may inhibit inflammation and thereby reduce the risk of cardiovascular and other inflammatory diseases. They did their study on postmenopausal women, but obviously it transfers to all humans. And it was basically good news for us coffee drinkers. Now, the key, obviously, would be moderate consumption. So I tend to drink a little too much coffee for my own good. I'll have, either like a Starbucks venti size in the morning or at least a couple or three cups of coffee if I make it myself. But good news on the caffeine front. Kevin, do you drink coffee?
I don't. I'm not a coffee drinker. It's weird. I like diet soda with caffeine, and sometimes like I might pop like some no dose, like one no dose. I'm not a huge caffeine guy. I like to get to bed on time and things like that. But I just wanted to bring up. I'm kind of getting bummed that we have all these news stories that kind of get people excited that something that I'm doing is not bad, but then it's always in moderation.
Right.
Bummer.
Moderation is the key word there for sure.
Exactly.
So it's probably good that you're not a big coffee drinker. I've given it up in the past for a month or two at a time. I've come to the conclusion that I'm a better man when I drink coffee. I'm just more sociable. I just walk around in a dim daze. I have like the the IQ of an eggplant when I don't drink my coffee.
I can give up coffee anytime I want. I'm not addicted to it. You know that old excuse. But no, actually, you know, I'll sometimes forget to drink coffee for days on end, and it doesn't really cause me a problem because I don't drink exceedingly high amounts of it. But I'm like you, Kevin. I don't necessarily drink it in the form of coffee. I might take it in the form of some sort of pill just to get my caffeine. It's usually the equivalent of a couple of cups that I take, and that's usually all I need. And it just kind of, you know, pops me awake at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning when I'm pulling into the gym to start training people, which I don't recommend, by the way. Any of you trainers out there, you know, if you're thinking about becoming a personal trainer and you're not a morning person, don't do it. And not unless you have a very good relationship with coffee or you're just a morning person. I'm a night owl. Those 5 o'clock training sessions kill me, but I've been doing it for 19 years now, so I should be used to it, right? Mm-hmm.
For sure. Well, the good news about this article is even though it said moderation, they're pretty liberal in their definition of moderation. It's one to six cups. So 6 cups is a hell of a lot of coffee. So unless you're drinking more than that,
a moderate dose of caffeine there, huh?
Yeah. Well, we also have a third news topic today. Just a quick one, which I found interesting. Reported in the BBC, it said that meat and fish taste, whether or not people enjoy eating meat and fish, is basically inherited. And children, they found in this study, largely inherit their taste for high-protein food like meat and fish. And this was found by cancer research in the UK. They also found that, you know, in addition to, obviously, when kids have a taste for meat, it's inherited, but the taste for things like vegetables, and this is a BBC, so they use puddings, quote-unquote, kids' taste for these vegetables and puddings are largely a result of nurture versus nature. In other words, how often those types of foods are put on the dinner table by their parents. I'm sure that anybody who has children, I've watched my sister raise children, and I have even myself, but it can be hell on earth trying to get them to eat anything besides freaking fruit roll-ups or Cap'n Crunch cereal. But the take-home lesson from this article is that you do have to expose your children to some of these vegetables if they're going to develop a taste for them. How about you, JP? You have 3 rugrats. How are they in terms of eating their vegetables?
You just find out that every single child is completely unique. We thought we could write the book on parenting with our first one because, you know, when he was 1 year old, he would eat, you know, Greek orzo pasta with olives and feta cheese and whatever. I mean, he would eat anything. He would eat whatever we were eating. He'd eat meats. He'd eat vegetables. He loved broccoli and carrots and still does. I mean, he's got a, you know, great diet. I mean, we sort of joke about the fact that he has a natural bent for the Adams diet. He doesn't like starchy carbs very much. He eats very little of them. He prefers meat and vegetables, and it's really odd. But my little girl, on the other hand, has a little protein detector in her nose, so she might act like she's interested in eating something until it gets right in front of her face and she pulls back. And she is the most picky eater I've ever seen. She basically, the only thing she eats is these Morningstar Farms soy chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. And that is her favorite food. She eats that with low carb ketchup, and that is her favorite food to eat. And she'll eat that and yogurt and applesauce, and that's pretty much about it. Her diet's not very diverse. She is very hard to feed. My youngest is kind of a mixture of the two. He's pretty picky. He'll eat a little bit more than her, though. I mean, he at least eats olives and, you know, other foods. You know, he'll eat them, but he likes the soy chicken nuggets that she likes. But we're trying to get him into eating more vegetables. I mean, it's really hard. You just sort of, when it comes to kids, I've learned you just kind of have to pick your battles. And I would worry about her. Except that she, of all three of the children, she's the one that's been sick the least. I don't know that she's ever been really sick in her life in 5 years. You know, like the other two had, you know, ear infections and other problems and occasional, you know, viruses or whatever. She's just never sick. She's the hardiest person in the family. And And she also is the tallest little girl, tallest child in the entire in her entire class. And actually, she's about the size of an average second grader. So she's a very tall child and, you know, skinny, you know, physically fit girl. So my wife and I, as much as we criticize her eating habits, we can't really point to its results in her growth pattern or health. I mean, she's obviously, you know, very, very hearty girl. So, you know, it's she's just as stubborn as they get, though. So, I mean, every child basically what it boils down to is every child we have has a completely different set of tastes. And we've just, you know, Julian is the easiest one. My oldest child is the easiest one to feed because he'll eat, you know, pretty much what we eat. You know, the other two are a bit pickier, but, you know, they're also younger, and I'm hoping that, you know, that eventually she'll grow up and start having more diverse palate.
Yeah. Well, even what she's eating now isn't bad by any means. You know, yogurt and high protein snacks that aren't deep fried and whatnot.
She will eat like the Wendy's chicken nuggets if on the occasions that we get them, and but we don't do that frequently. It's a, you know, sort of a rare treat for them. But she does like she loves candy and cake, and we don't feed her that often. But she likes to. But she loves those. If she had her choice, that's all she'd eat.
Yeah.
So she likes the starchy carbs a lot. She's always asking for ice cream and that kind of thing. And Julian could do without that stuff. He's sort of interesting. But
let's move on to the roundtable.
We'll get the Q&A out of the way and just get things rolling. But first off, I have to ask you. These are some of my questions that I kind of threw together, and I wanted to ask you, and I wanted the listeners to hear. But how did you get the idea for your JP Fitness board, and what was it like to see it grow like it did in the last couple of years?
Originally, I had a site, actually. I was probably one of the only fitness centers in Little Rock to have a website back in the 90s. I opened my site in 1995. I started planning it and writing all the initial, you know, the initial layout of it, and then 1996 I launched it. And then the forums didn't start until, let me see, I guess they're about 4 or 5 years old now. Actually, I could probably figure that out really quickly. I can look at the forum and tell you where the very, very first post was for about almost four years. And initially, the forum I started, I initially got the idea because my wife was actually a member of a group. She was in an MSN group that was for working moms, and it was kind of just this little neat forum idea. And I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. She gets to have these conversations with other moms from all over the country. This was a working moms group, so it was particularly moms who had to work and raise children and, you know, deal with the issues that they had to deal with. And it was really helping her, you know. It helped her, you know, not beat herself up so bad that she wasn't able to, you know, be, you know, do everything and you know, have the, you know, stellar career and raise children and be the super wife and do all this. You know, sometimes she would be hard on herself about that. And so she had this sort of support group with talking to other working moms, and she'd realize how much she was doing, and actually it kind of gave her a little boost. And I was like, you know, that's a neat idea, actually being able to talk to your friends like that, you know, on a regular basis. And you know, it's still they're actually still pretty active. It's a tight little group, not nearly as large, but it gave me the idea. And so I started checking out other I started looking into fitness forums, and I didn't realize they were out there, you know, so I started reading a bunch of them and really liked them. And I said, you know, these are cool, but there were definitely things that I wanted to do differently. I didn't like how just the great unwashed public would, you know, show up on these things and say outrageous, you know, things and not be called down. And if you did call them down, you know, fact check somebody or that it would, you know, you could end up getting starting up some kind of flame war, or people would, you know, just, I don't know. There were things I liked about them. There were things I didn't like about them. I liked the exchange of knowledge that I saw going on, but I didn't like the fact that that people were just not as welcome to new people. I'd see people who didn't know what they were talking about, and rather than, you know, try to gently guide them, you know, they would just attack them. And I thought, you know, I could do this a lot better. So, you know, being the arrogant guy that I am, So I went out to my web developer and I said, hey, I want to add a forum, and I had a newsletter section on my website at the time. I just wrote, you know, monthly updates to it, and I just said, I want to remove my monthly newsletter section and I want to put in its place a forum. And they went out and shopped for me. I didn't know anything about them at the time. I didn't know, you know, what products were out there. And they got me a UBB Classic, and they just you know, off the shelf program, and just said, okay, it's up. And I started, you know, putting up some material. And so when I started it, it was the original forum software was not the best. It was a you know, it was okay. It was a flat file format system. It was very slow, but you know, it was my little forum. It was my little, and I had started moderating over at Men's Health. Lou Schuler had asked me to help him out on moderating, you know, helping with some of the you know, keep the trolls under control and post material and answer people's questions on, you know, TAP and other things that he was working on, you know. And so I really cut my teeth on Men's Health and also another board called the fitboard.com, and I don't even know if they're around anymore. They got shut down. And but I started getting some, you know, really getting into it. And then on my own forum, I just kept posting and inviting people over. Really, the only way it grew was, you know, because I've seen a lot of them that have been around for much longer than mine that are still not much more active. But the way it grew was that I seeked out people that I found people that were writing really good answers, and I'd say, hey, I've got this forum over here. It's a little different in that I actually have some really serious guidelines, you know, for how, you know, for conduct. And our format is a little different, but I'd like to, you know, I feel like you would fit in well. I mean, John, you remember, actually, I approached you the same way. I said, I really like the stuff you're writing on nutrition, and I just felt like you'd be a great contributor to them, and I asked you to come over and moderate.
Right. We actually met at the men's health forums.
Exactly.
And, many years ago, it seems. And, yeah, we basically just kept track and made friendships, and we got sick of some of the things that were going on at the unmoderated forums. And
Right. So the initial idea, you know, was starting to, you know, the seed was planted, and you know, I had some stragglers in the beginning, and it was slow to get started, and people said, well, you know, I like it over here. It's just a little slower, so they'd keep going back to the other forums, but come back every now and then. But as I started getting more and more people coming in, you know, and I was made a point, of course, to really try to address as many people as I could with the new people coming in. I just kept answering more and more questions and pulling in more people to help me answer questions and finding experts out there like yourself and like, you know. And then one day, I remember it was shortly after I'd launched it. Bill Hartman, I just saw this name Bill Hartman pop up in the rehab and massage section, which it was what it was originally called, because it was moderated by one of my employees, who really actually never contributed one thing to it, but he just, you know, he was supposedly going to moderate it and help guide the conversations in there. And he just wrote this answer to somebody, and I was like, I just my eyes popped open. I was like, oh my God. You know, those guys may not have realized how well he answered their question, but I immediately recognized this as somebody who really knew his shit.
Bleep.
Boop.
Yeah.
Bleep.
that's what I love about this. It's been so synergistic.
And so I immediately, I mean, you know, I jumped on him like white on rice, and I said, you know, hey, I'm really interested in your, you know, getting to know more about, you know, what you have to say, and I think you really, you know, you really impressed the heck out of me, and how would you like to, you know, moderate, you know, be, you know, head, you know, some of these forums, be kind of a forum leader, because I wasn't just looking for moderators. You know, moderators are a dime a dozen. You can find anybody who wants to moderate, but finding someone who'd actually be a forum leader, who'd keep discussion moving, who would answer people's questions, who would, you know, set the tone for their own little realm. That is, to me, I just wanted every little area to have its own personality. You know, the training forum has, you know, Bill and Mahler and you know, all these people who are, you know, Eric now and you know, a lot of, just a huge group of regular contributors who really set the tone in there. The nutrition forum, you definitely set the tone in the nutrition forum. And then, you know, we've, you know, of course, now you've seen what we've evolved to. We've got specialized training forums with turbulence training, and you know, Bill's got his own sub forum. We've got an injury forum for him as well. We've got you know, I think that you're going to see a lot more of those specialized forums popping up too, because I have a lot more people really interested in bringing, you know, experts who want to bring, you know, bring the they want to get the immediate audience since in the last few years that my forums have just grown tremendously, exponentially. I think somewhere along the line there, I think initially what really just brought a lot of people over was the forums over at Men's Health were having some originally Brothers in Iron shut down. I don't know if you remember Brothers in Iron.
Yeah, I do.
So all those guys basically came over to my site from there. And because they still had their Men's Health affiliation, but they wanted to have, you know, some off place to go that was a little different, from Men's Health. And then I had a lot of people come over from other boards that shut down. And, being consistent and being present is probably, you know, half of it. And being a persistent little knucklehead like me who just goes out and bugs people to come to my forum also helps. You know, I mean, everybody I meet, I'm like, oh, you really need to come see this conversation or that discussion. You'd really be great in there. And so, you know, I've just consistently, you know, brought people over like that. But then the Men's Health boards had some problems, and Mahler just said, hey, I'm over here at JP Fitness these days, and I love it over here, and we don't have all this crap going on. And I mean, within, I think, a week, I had over 200 people join up, and it's just been real steady, you know, ever since then. We had a pretty steady stream coming over from Men's Health. It slowed down a little bit when they finally got their act back together, more or less. I've not been able to get back on with my old profile, so, you know, I just quit. By that point, I was pretty much not interested in participating over there anymore. And Lou came over to my forums and became a really active participant, a really active moderator, and active in all the forums, from nutrition to training to the current events one down at the very bottom, that's, you know, in the off-topic forum. And Lou had come to my, he didn't get to come to the first summit, but he came, you know, he sent gifts and stuff like that, but he came to the second one. He's been to every summit since. And, you know, we've formed a real, you know, real friendship over the years, and he's been, I just really admire his intelligence and his writing ability, and I think he really brings a lot to the place, and you know, by adding...
Lou is so prolific. You know, Lou, he writes his blog, he writes books every other week. He's got, and then he posts on the fitness forums, you know, and 13 different subcategories, and he reads something
CE
forum, and it's well thought out, well written. I'm just like, geez, does he stay up 24 hours a day writing?
I mean, that's what you'd think, you know, because he's just extremely prolific, and, So you know, people like Lou, and then Adam at one point was really consistent. He's become a little less consistent, I think, because of maybe perhaps some pressure from Men's Health. I'm not sure, but he posts every now and then. He visits pretty frequently, but he doesn't post much anymore. But you know, we had those guys in here, and I think it was an interesting thing. I think a lot of people, a lot of fitness experts, saw that we had some pretty big name fitness experts in there, and then they saw people like Lou Schuler and Adam Campbell in there, you know, these editors of Men's Health, Men's Fitness, so they just kind of wanted to jump on the bandwagon a little bit. And so the more experts I got, the more people I got coming in there, and it was just, you know, it was like a snowball effect. And I went from, I remember Bill Hartman emailed me the day that we finally passed the under the 100,000 mark on Alexa, which is, apparently, they archive the web based on your traffic patterns or something to that effect. Anyway, so my website, give or take, it's usually between about 15,000 and 20,000 now, which is, you know, puts me at a pretty high level of traffic. I mean, we actually have higher traffic at JP Fitness forums than Men's Fitness does. Mm-hmm. And you know, they've got some 5 million subscribers to the magazine, so I'd say we've really accomplished something over here. And what's ironic about it is I've really done it with no advertising. I haven't sponsored anything. I haven't spent any money marketing the website. I have spent a lot of money, you know, with software upgrades and that type of thing and hosting fees, but I haven't spent a lot of money on advertising, and we've just steadily watched it grow based on nothing else but word of mouth, or word of typing, I guess.
Yeah.
So you know, it's just spread. So it's really been interesting to watch the growth of the popularity of the forum, and growth has its own issues. You know, growth was something. There was one point where I felt like I was kind of losing control of things, and I was actually getting complaints because things were growing so fast and people were just, you know, it was hard to keep control of, you know, some of the frivolous postings, and you know that I've created a lot of forums in response to some of the overflow problems. You know, there were a lot of martial arts discussions. I felt like it deserved its own sub forum. There was a lot of off topic stuff, so of course that deserved its own sub forum. And within off topic, you know, a lot of politics was getting a lot of talk, so it got its own sub forum. So a lot of the way it's organized has to do with just the way, you know, dealing with overflow, dealing with the traffic, trying to make sure that it's balanced really well, make sure that it's and also, you know, I think obviously making sure that there was a very clear tone set from all of the from the people who really are frequent posters. I wanted them to be, you know, take ownership in the forum and you know, not only be good contributors but to be, well, you know, ambassadors to welcome people when they came in and make sure that everybody is treated, you know, with courtesy and make sure that they're not, you know, they don't feel stupid when they ask some question that they probably got belittled for in another forum. So you know, and some of the people who came in who probably asked some stupid questions are now really sharp people who have, you know, really a high level of training knowledge. I've said this before, and it's actually true now. I really believe this. I would put the average JP Fitness forumite, the knowledge of the average fitness forumite, against any of the trainers that I've met in the last 5 years here in Little Rock. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that, and I've traveled a lot, so that's not just Little Rock. It's pretty much most of the trainers that I've met, most of them are still locked in the sort of muscle fiction 1980s paradigm of training, you know, where you I don't know that they're just not reading outside of the magazines, or if they don't read books, or if they have no interest in actually evolving and along with, you know, as the knowledge increases and in the field, they just sort of locked in this 1980s bodybuilding paradigm that is so extremely out of date. And the average forumite in at JP Fitness is so much more. I mean, they know more about periodization and you go see a question from one of our forum members and they're talking about, well, I'm on phase three of such and such workout and I'm doing a conjugated periodization program. You don't hear trainers talking like that, let alone, you know, the just plain old fitness enthusiasts. But if you remember we did a poll recently to see what the percentage of actual fitness experts versus fitness enthusiasts were in my forum. And I mean, you know, something like 80-something percent of the participants are non-professional. They're just fitness enthusiasts. And, you know, I just wish that we had this much passion and this much exchange of knowledge going on in the industry, but people get in their little silos and where they don't let any information in, and they just continue to spread, you know, misinformation, you know, which people like Bill Hartman do a great job of, you know, myth busting. I don't know if you read any of his stuff on Craig Ballantyne's interviews. He did a couple of interviews where he did some great myth busting, just great reading.
That's a great example. And just whenever you log on to the forums, or if you become a member, the learning curve is so fast, you know, because there's just a cornucopia of useful information on the forums. And, you know, even this FitCast is an offshoot of the forums. And there's something going on every day, some little special thing.
We've got Mahler started off with the first actual column that he posted in there, Mahler's Monday Morning Motivator. Which is a great way to start your week off, you know. Just, you know, just really gets me motivated, we've got the FitCast, we've got a couple of topics, off-topic things. We've got the we have Red Lefty has started the weekly recap on Fridays, where he recaps a lot of the stuff that's gone on the forum in his own humorous style, which he's got a great sense of humor. He just cracks me up. I mean, he was so much fun to meet in person. He was actually here at the last summit, and he just has that kind of overgrown 8-year-old boy personality. He's also extremely intelligent and very witty, so he just kept us all in stitches. So, and then of course, old guy, has his probably the most motivating threat to all of us red-blooded American males. The the Friday, and now Jen Medic actually does that with him.
Yeah, they teamed up.
Yeah, the Friday fitness photos, and with it, which are actually they take very seriously. They do it every Friday. They do their research all week long. Boy, what rough research that must be! And they have to have a theme for each one. So you know, we got a lot of really, you know, it's neat to see. What I like about that though is it really shows, you know, it's a growth of a real community. I mean, you know, it's interesting that here we are. We're all spread all over the world. I mean, we've got people in there from Belgium, from, you know, from Hungary, from Australia and Canada, and of course the U.S. But we've got, you know, all these active people that are just a really tight community, and we have, you know, things like that really show that the community is growing because people are taking ownership in their, you know, their participation in the forums and contributing really great information to it, and you know, I just love seeing it. So anyway,
yeah, everybody contributes their own unique talent to the forum.
Yeah, that's, yeah. That's for sure. It's been a real exciting joy to watch, you know, how it's evolved, and now it seems like we had a lot of forum crashing and stuff when the forum got too big. So I finally, you know, I got everything moved to a dedicated server thanks to Fitness Insight, Don Hoskins. We're on dedicated, you know, dual balanced servers or something to that effect. We've got a database format rather than a flat file format. So you know, searches and clicking on opening sites and browsing in general is just much, much faster. And I just really like the new software. I've been giddy with it since we finally. It took a while to get it all transferred, and it was a really painful process. But everybody's real patient with me, and we got it set up. But I feel like I'm really in a position to grow now, and that we actually have all the necessary tools in place to be able to handle significant growth of the community. So, you know, this could actually be a really good lead-in to one of the topics that Kevin and I were talking about when it comes to, you know, city planning and city growth infrastructure and how much that influences the health of a community. But we can lead back into that later. I just thought that was an interesting thing that, you know, some of the problems that I've had to do with you know, not really knowing what I was getting into at first, but then when I realized you know what potential it had, I started, you know, planning for growth a lot more. And I think that's also a good lesson in business. People plan to, you know, operate their businesses, but I don't think they plan to grow. You know, I don't think they put a plan in place for what they're going to do when they really explode. And a growth is just as can doom a business just as much as not growing enough. You remember the commercial that was on a while back? I think it's a couple of years ago, where a bunch of guys just launch their online product and they make their first sale and they're all excited and they're all gathered around the computer watching their first sales come through and then the sales start, you know, the numbers just start ticking away, and like next thing you know, they've got hundreds of thousands of orders, and they're like, they just all of a sudden look really sullen when they realize that there's just no humanly possible way to fulfill all those. So you know, a little planning for growth is really important. So I think we're in place to really grow though.
Kevin, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to go to the bathroom really bad. I'm sorry. I didn't want to butt in. I don't know if it was really interruptive, but I was thirsty and I had to pee really bad.
I was wondering what that choosh was.
Sorry.
Yeah, we keep it real here on the FitCast.
Well, either that or I can just bring the computer into the bathroom and I'll just sit on the toilet the whole show. Just
sit on the job with your laptop on your lap.
So I guess we got an answer to whether or not Gayla's Red Bull shake actually has a diet.
Oh, it flushed right through me. It flushed right through me, I'll tell you that. Good job.
This one's for you, Gaia. Okay. What's your next question, Kevin?
I was actually, you touched on this a little bit, but I wanted to ask you about the history of the fitness summit, and also if you could talk a little bit about what happened at the 06 summit, and also what's up with the DVD. I know this talk about possibly...
The DVD is done. The DVD, awesome. I'll tell you, the DVD is done. It's ready to order. I just don't have the shopping cart built yet, and that's been the only thing holding me back. It's done. It's the artwork is done. It's pressed. It's ready to be ordered. And it's great too. I mean, it's really great. And I've got there's a bonus DVD. I don't know how we're going to handle it yet. That people can order along with it. But the DVD by itself is ready to go. You know, the initial one. It's We got it down to 3.5 hours, and rather than actually have the workbook that went along with it, you know, that was the ones that Bill Hartman handed out at the summit, we actually put the DVD, I mean, his PowerPoint presentation up on the screen along with the, you know, kind of, we did some split screen stuff along with his presentation, so it really comes across well. I mean, it's very well edited, very well produced. I'm very pleased with it, and everybody's just going to be blown away.
Where will the listeners be able to get a copy of that?
What's that?
Where can people go and get a copy of that online?
As soon as I have it, it's actually going to be, you're going to be able to buy it off my shopping cart as soon as I have it up. I just don't have a means to get that. I've been going around with one shopping cart lately, trying to get that all set up. And once I've got it set up, and I should have it done, finished by Monday. As soon as I do, I'm going to throw up the page that's going to link to the shopping cart. That's going to have that, and also links off to my other affiliates and other people who have products that that we want to sell, you know, at JP Fitness. So it's done. It's very close to being ready to order, and I cannot recommend enough that people see this, because Bill Hartman just really outdid himself. For those who came to the first summit that he attended, which is my second summit, he was just brilliant. I mean, he blew everybody's doors off. I mean, it was amazing. Lou Schuler was floored, and Lou Schuler immediately, you know, put him in touch with Adam Campbell and said, "You got to see this guy." The rest is history. I mean, we know Bill's been writing quite a bit for a lot of magazines now, and he's it was good contacts were made, and he's just been taking off right now, and I'm really, really excited to see that, because I don't think anybody deserves it more. But the DVD is excellent, because this time he came along, he had his PowerPoint presentation, he really just had, you know, real interesting theme going, when you get finished watching this, you will just your knowledge base in the area of dealing with injuries or increasing mobility, developing your own strength training programs is going to have increased exponentially. I mean, Bill is like nuclear-powered knowledge when it comes to fitness, because everything he says has an impact. You know, it's not, he doesn't waste words. So the DVD is excellent. I can't wait for everybody to see it and review it. I just think everybody's going to be thrilled to death when they finally get it.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I mean, probably the most fun 2 days I've ever had, and I learned so much from Bill and from all the other guys like Zig Ziglar and Don.
Zig and Don were great too, and I still work pretty closely with Don, and I haven't heard as much from Zig lately. I'm going to try to catch up with him again here soon. I heard a rumor he might be selling his business, which would be good for him, because it was if he sells it for what I heard he's going to be selling it for. He's got his hands on a great technology there, and I really, you know, for those who don't know what we're talking about, Zig Ziglar is the owner of a company called Motion DNA, which is basically a software and sensors. You put these sensors on a person, and you have them perform whatever movement you want to measure, and the software basically looks at every aspect of movement in all of their joints, you know, joint rotation speed, velocity of bat swings. It basically looks at a body in motion at 240 frames per second, and can really look at, you know, looks at, you're able to analyze people's kinematic sequences and analyze where their weaknesses are, where they might be losing power. For example, someone might, you know, you might have someone do a golf swing, and what you might say, oh, you know, according to this, your swing is, you know, I don't know, you could say 20% less powerful because you have your left hamstring is really tight, and we can tell by this kinematic sequence here, looking at, you know, all of your body parts and all your joint rotations, that you know right there is where you had this little blip that, you know, they teach you how to use it, they teach you how to interpret the data and how to but basically what it does is it allows people who don't have, you know, Bill's natural ability to just watch somebody walk and tell you what's wrong with them. It gives the trainer the ability, or a physical therapist the ability, to look at, you know, where somebody might have some weaknesses or strength imbalances, And it's an amazing product, and I plan to actually have quite a bit of information on my website about it at some point once I get this website, and once I get my website kind of tweaked. It's got a lot of it's getting ready to go through some major changes here pretty soon. I did want to there were some questions in the forum I wanted to answer real quick. Keith S. asked, how long have I owned my gym? I opened my fitness center in 1994, in the fall of 1994. So it's been a while. I don't feel like I'm that old, but I guess I am. And I started – actually, my first training job, I was 19 when I first started training. I was at a gym in Massachusetts. I was such a neophyte, I can't imagine why anybody would want to pay me for my knowledge. But I actually did train a few people, and just because they saw me make a lot of progress, and when I look back in the program that I was using, it's just embarrassing to even, you know, to dredge up that memory. But I mean, it was some combination of do you remember the old Cybergenics negative failure routine? I did that. I did the Cybergenics, and I'd really gotten just great shape, in spite of myself. And of course, a bunch of other people wanted to get in that shape and paid me to do it. So that started my training career. But as I got further into it, though, I realized that I really enjoyed it, and I wanted to keep researching and reading, and dump that pretty quickly, and got certified, and went through all that process. And I trained all through college for the most part. I always had like a couple of clients at least, just to support myself. And worked at a couple of gyms around Little Rock. I've worked at a lot of gyms around Little Rock, actually, and trained out of the ones that I didn't work at, and just really got disgusted and frustrated with the whole situation, and eventually opened up my own place.
Well, that will pretty much wrap it up for this week's episode of the FitCast episode number 11. Again, I want to thank JP for coming on, and don't forget to check out the show on iTunes and Podcast Alley. And for all your show notes and FitCast needs, hit up thefitcast.com. And for the FitCast, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And I am Jean-Paul.
Thanks.
Sorry, I had to do it.
Thanks again for
coming on, JP.
Yeah, thanks very much. And we will see everyone next week on episode number 12. And to see what happens. Thanks again for downloading. See you next time.
Better edit this because I'm going to come back. I know where you live.
This will go at the end of the segment. After the podcast ends, I know where you live.
Yeah, I know where both you live. I have phenomenal cosmic powers with my administrative powers here.